Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Pamela Reese Wordlaw at the Preparation Room with Build, Grow, and Enjoy, where we worship and praise God and prepare the way for the Lord. Come on in and let's get this show started.
Hello, welcome to the Preparation Room. Today is a beautiful day here in Fairburn, Georgia. Matter of fact, I'm in Powder Spring, Georgia. The weather is beautiful. We don't have on a jacket. The air is clean, and I can just feel the Spirit of God in the atmosphere. The clouds are light gray. The skies are light gray, and the clouds are just white and beautiful. I just can feel the Spirit of God all over this place. God is doing something so awesome, I tell you. I just want to just thank God in the atmosphere, in the airwaves today for Build, Grow, and Enjoy. They're doing some awesome things, the coming of the year 2013, and we'll let Khalifia, you know, come in and tell us a little bit something at the end of the show or in the middle of the show, whenever we could get some free time with her and just put a little something out there with what Build, Grow, and Enjoy is doing. And also, we just thank God for letting us have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Listeners, I was with my family, and it was just awesome. It was so awesome. I just want to tell you, God is so good. He is so worthy to be praised. I tell you, everything just went smooth for me and all my three children and all of their children. We all was there with my family in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and I didn't see too many of my friends because Thanksgiving was just a day where I wanted to just give God the glory and thanks and be with my family since I live in another state. You know, so I was with them. I seen all my nieces and my nephews. I was sharing love with my sisters. And it came to a little sad part. You know, I try to share some of the things that I'm going through in life. My sister passed away a year ago, and I hadn't had a chance to really get any closure. So I got together with all my sisters and all the grandkids and the kids, and we went and we did a little closure with her, you know, up there with her, you know, in her house. And it was just a little sad, but the sadness turned into joy. You know, like they say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. So we just know that time that we had with her is closed. We realize that she's with the Lord and made us love each other even more. You know what I'm saying? When you lose a loved one, it makes you just gravitate to the other family members because we never know when that time might come that we might lose a sibling, we might lose a loved one. And another thing that the Spirit of God just has been had me dealing with for the last couple of weeks since we were going out in the month of November, this is December the 1st. Wow, a whole year has passed away. You know, the Holy Spirit wants us to pray more. If you notice at the end of every year, a lot of people seem like they leave a little quicker. You know what I'm saying? But we must pray for each other and ask God to cover us with the blood of Jesus so that we can make it through the new year. We got to watch and pray more like we ever did before. These last 29 days, we got 29 days before the new year. Next month, it'd be New Year's. You know, I mean, where did this year go? But I know a lot of us accomplish a lot of things, so woo-hoo, I know I did. I know I did, and I'm quite sure that you did too. But I just want to encourage you listeners to pray like you never did before, to eat the blood of Jesus over your family like you never did before. Repent. Do not go into a new year mad at someone. Free yourself from that madness. Free yourself. You're not freeing them. Free yourself. I was listening to something on the radio the other day when it was saying that even though that, you know, you might be mad at someone, and even though that you know you didn't do anything for them to be mad at you for, and you know you wasn't wrong, and they still mad, and you still mad, no, free yourself from that. Still tell them, you know, I'm sorry. Just to open the door to freeness, and you will feel so much better. But I just want to tell you that I love you. call. We're going to go on with the show. We got a powerful man of God just waiting to come aboard to give us a word from God. And we also have Annette Everett. You know, she always come on, and she always give us a good scripture from God. So we welcome you, Annette. Can you come aboard and give us something that you hear from God?
Yes, thank you, Pam. Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here once again. I would like to read to you a scripture. I'm going in the King James Version, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and it is verse 9 to 16. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As believers, we must rely on the Holy Spirit daily in our walk with Christ. We need to know how to discern, and we need wisdom, especially in these last days. But be mindful to keep your communication line open and connected to Christ so you can hear what he's saying to you. This is peace, love, and joy. And back to you, Pam.
Amen. That was powerful, Annette. Praise God for that word. It is so true. It is so real. But believers, you must know and operate in authority. Jesus gave his disciples the power and authority over all the devils, right? That was in Matthew 10:1. We sit with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power. You know that is in Ephesians 1:20, 2, and 6. Now, we believers, you know, we can trust this authority through prayers and confession. We must confess a thing, and it is so. You know, we have authorities to tread upon serpents and scorpions and, you know, all kind of demonic stuff. That's in Luke 10:19. Jesus promised that nothing won't hurt us. So we must believe that, believers. Many believers suffer, you know, unnecessarily because they fail to exercise the authority, so we must exercise it. Go back into the Word, go back into Ephesians, go back into Matthew 10:1, go back into, I think it's Ephesians 1:20, 2 to 6, and I think it's something in Luke, you know, back into the words about we have authority to read upon serpents and scorpions, Luke 10:19, you know, it is in the Word. So we got to exercise that power. I tell you, we have it in our hand. Cretia was telling me that she was feeling a little under the weather, so we must pray for her. And I just decree that she will be healed by Jesus' stripes. She will be healed. The devil is a liar. He will not have her bonded and not feeling good and not going forth. We got to know it, and when we speak it, we got to believe it, and it will be so. Like right now, I'm speaking, there's somebody in the family, is this thing keep coming up with unity. Someone is angry and mad with their loved ones right now. You know, set yourself free from that demonic force. Get love in your life. Get love in your spirit. Get out and get you some air. Even in my, you know, this a block talk go all around the world. If it's cold outside, still get some free air. Set yourself free. You know, it's always some lightness somewhere. Do whatever it takes for you to enjoy yourself and to make yourself happy. do whatever it takes. We must be happy these last days. It shows the spirit of God. And if we sit around and we wait for someone else to make us happy, I tell you, we'll be waiting a long time. We have to make happiness for ourselves, and that's through Christ, just believing the things that he's going to do and knowing that he is God. But, listeners, we're going to get back to where we started with. We're going to go with this mighty man of God. I've just been so excited about him coming on the show. His name is Apostle. He's Apostle Winfrey. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Greetings and blessings from Houston, Texas. And may God bless the Preparation Room and his staff. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, just hearing this voice, the devil is trembling. Woo! I can just see him running right now. Just hearing his voice, are you ready to go forth, man of God? I have a few questions that I want to ask you that I think the listeners might want to hear a little bit about who you are. Can you give us your name and your name of your ministry, your full name?
Yes, my name is Apostle James Russell Winfrey, Sr., born and raised in Houston, Texas. The ministry name is Apostle James and Better All Winfrey Ministries. We are a ministry that is concerned about, you spoke a word just a while ago, unity. And so we are based on unity and in Christ and love and equality. I've been ordained in the ministry by a well-known bishop, Bishop T.D. Jakes of Dallas, Texas, many, many years ago. I've been traveling. I've been on the radio and television. Been preaching for many, many years, weddings, funerals, revivals, conferences, and the like. But I just want to thank God today, amen, that I'm with my sister Pamela. My. I'm just honored to be in the presence of a woman of God, that God is moving by his spirit and he's setting his people free. Because I know, because I keep up with you in the preparation room, your theme is love. And the Bible says God is love. And without love, we are nothing. And so I want to thank God for you, my beloved, for your ministry, your beautiful spirit, and the things that God is doing in your life.
Amen. You know, we give God all the glory for that. I mean, we give him all the glory. He used a mighty woman of God, through Bill Groen and Joy, that we met almost 2 years ago. Should be 2 years by now. And she opened the doors to the preparation room. You know, listeners that don't know, we started off in the house and something happened and with my son-in-law, and we had to go to their house, and we end up doing it on the radio with Talithia Jenkins, with Bill Groen and Joy. And we just thank God for her taking the time out every Saturday and taking her time and host, you know, helping us host the show. So we give all the glory. We know this is part of what God has for us. And no matter what, I just want to be in the will of God. And I ask listeners and other people to come on, to go forth. Because, see, the demonic forces have taken over the airway, as you know, with the media, with all the music on the radio, and everything is about sex. You know what I'm saying? Sex. You know, doing whatever you want to do, all kind of demonic stuff that's in the atmosphere. There's someone even go in it. So God is doing something with the media. He's cleaning it up. There ain't nothing they can do about it because God is in the midst. He's cleaning up the media. So what better way than he could use us at the preparation room to go in the airways? Khalifa was telling me a couple of weeks ago, I think we were somewhere in Japan or somewhere all the way through Bill Gore and George. She got thousands of listeners that's listening in. So if we could touch someone's heart, that's tuning in, and you know, and on the computer, you know, and they might be tuning in something else, but then we tune in on there, or even on Facebook, the social media, as you post, you know, with your friends and stuff, you might be doing something else. But then again, the preparation room gonna come in there with something about love and something about joy. So it's a blessing to have you listeners and my, you know, preparation room, Facebook family and friends to come aboard and talk about loving God. He's pleased with that. He loves it when we love on him. He's always loving on us. Can we give him some time to just love on him instead of just going to church on a Sunday? Let's love on him every time we talk. Let's love on him. But one of the things that Apostle Winfrey had posted in the preparation room today is just awesome, and I want to go back into it. So if you want to go get your Bible, and we're going to go into Acts. But before, I think it was Acts 17, 26, it went out on me. It was Acts 17, right, Apostle?
Yes, yes. In verse 26, you are correct.
Yes, Acts 17, 26. But before that, I'm giving you a little chance to go get your Bibles or go get a piece of paper, because we're going to go into this man is a mighty man of God. But I just want to just talk to him a little bit more before we go into Acts. And I want to ask him about the family. I want to ask you a little bit about the family. You know how I am about the family. Are you the only pastor that's in your family?
No, I have many, many preachers go way back in my family that are in the ministry, uncles and cousins, and I have an older sister. She's in ministry. Been in the pastor, Gene Moore, First Missionary Baptist Church. And so I'm just one of the few. I ran from my calling because I really didn't want to preach. I wanted to be a worldly man because of my father. So I wanted to imitate him. But God got a hold of me and didn't let me go. I'm like David said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the utmost parts of the earth, he's there. And David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. So why can I go from the presence of the Lord? So in my running, I ran to him and not from him.
Wow. Amen. Now tell me something about Miss Winfrey. She's a powerful woman of God. I know she is, because to have a man like you is always a powerful woman of God. How is Miss Winfrey doing, and what is her first name?
Miss Winfrey, her first name is Betty. We have the same initial R. And we've been married for 34 loving and blessed years. We met in church, matter of fact. We met in church, and the first time I laid my eyes on her, I told her, I said, you're going to be my wife, and you're going to be the mother of my children. And we just met, and I spoke to her, and we went our separate ways. I went to California to do some Christian evangelism, and then she was still back in Houston. But God brought us back. We are the parents of four grandkids, and one big loving family. They all love Jesus. And we thank God for them. Matter of fact, on yesterday, my daughter's birthday, and she just turned 34.
Ooh.
And
wow.
Her name is Tasha Nicole Curtis, and we thank God for her. They love the word, because the Bible says, train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. So we had many Bible studies and worship service right in the home. Because I believe that worship and fellowship don't start in a building, but it starts in a home. And so we had God, we had the Holy Spirit, we had the Word of God in the home, and our neighbors heard us shouting and praising God and magnifying God and calling upon his name. And so I want to thank God, amen, for my wife of 34, 11 years, and our love is yet going strong. In Jesus' name. She's still my baby, you know. I call her my girlfriend. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's my lollipop. I call her my lollipop. Hallelujah. Glory to
that's
Jesus.
That's your girlfriend. That sounds so dear to me. It's so sweet. You know, when I hear stuff like that, you know, I'm a widow now, and I miss my husband so much, but he's with God, you know, and I'll see him again. And I tell anybody, you know, we might be going through our ups and downs with our husband and stuff, but hold on, it'll change. It'll all change.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Embrace on what God gave you. Embrace on that. It's nothing like, you know, being married. It's an awesome thing. I loved it. But it's not, you know, what people think it is. You got to make that marriage. So, you know, if you work hard those 34 years, you know, it's time. It's smooth sailing. You made it. You know, I know a little times you have your little ups and downs, but you're not going nowhere and she's not going nowhere. Y'all stuck like glue. So you tell her that I send my love to her, and may God bless you and your children. May God bless your family, man of God. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, since you were telling us about T.D. Jakes. I love T.D. Jakes. I love the way he preached. I love the way that he teaches. Tell us how you got started in his ministry and what drawn you there to his ministry.
I got started at T.D. Jakes' ministry by the Holy Spirit because I really wasn't familiar with him. I lived in a suburb of right outside of Dallas. It was called Arlington, Texas, and he was just relocating from West Virginia to Dallas, and he was pushing the Potter's House at that time. My wife kind of knew of him a little bit because he was on TBN. I wasn't familiar with him, but some of his people moved in our neighborhood, and I met them, and we were fellowshipping, and they heard me speak, and you know, we praised God and stuff like that. But anyway, I got a phone call from his staff wanting me to be on his staff full time. I was, like, shocked about that because I wasn't even expecting a call, you know, like that. And so I worked with him about 3.5 years and got to know him personally, matter of fact. Him and his wife, the church family, we had a great time when we was there in Dallas. But it was the Lord doing. And not only that, you know, we fellowship. He ordained me in the ministry at the church, amen, some years ago, a great man of God. Matter of fact, many people say I sound just like him once I get stirred up. And he was laughing because he heard me too and said the same thing. But he's an awesome man of God. God is, as you know, that God is moving in a mighty way at the Potter's House. But at the same time, God let me know. He said, you don't have to be a star to be on my show. So God is in the business of using all of us. Amen. If we would allow him, if we allow to be led of his spirit, of his anointing, amen, we are on the stage, and God is saying, come on and do what I call you to do. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And that is so true, listeners. You know, when we in a church, we're there to learn how to really discern some of the things that we cannot really digest ourselves in, not really knowing about it. So we go to church and we just don't sit there and just get the food and get that. We go to church to get the food, to pass the food out to other people and bring them in into Christ. You know what I'm saying? So I believe that God is have a season for us to do everything, a season from learning and a season to go forth. And I believe right now a lot of us are in that season, that what we have learned from our pastors and our preachers and our teachers and stuff, the positive stuff that we have learned, the loving stuff that we have learned, the discerning stuff that we have learned for other ministers, that it's time for us to share it. It's time for us to not just get so comfortable when we leave the church, that the church house, we need to go forth and we need to spread the gospel. And then once we hear it from them, our leaders, we should go back and read that word ourselves and let the Holy Spirit just continue to digest it in our body so we can go forth. It is the time for God to use us more than we ever been used before. You know, we're not going to be the same as T.D. Jakes. We got a whole nother different anointing upon us as T.D. Jakes. And it might be Melissa Brown or Susie Francis or Jeanette Wallace or whatever. You know, I'm just mentioning names out of the clear blue sky ministry, that what God has for you to do. All of us are ministers. And a lot of times I know that people get jealous when you go forth, but you don't look back at what people think or what they do. I believe that we're going to be judged by what we hear from the Holy Spirit, and we're not doing it. So I just encourage you listeners to go forth and be like Apostle Winfrey, be like a Prophetess Pamela Wordlaw going forth with the vision that God has for you. Be like whatever your name say, and just go on and do what God said for you to do. But back to you, Apostle, I want to ask you another question. When did you realize that you were an apostle?
I realized it because when God kept me up all night, many nights, weeks after weeks, matter of fact, it was years, that God had me writing concerning the church. Because my ministry is really not to the world, my ministry is to the church. And what I mean by church, I'm not talking about the four walls, as you know. I'm talking about the people of God. If you ever see me, if you have seen my writings and my letters, they all is concerned about the body of Christ. And I, matter of fact, I have many things even in my office, at my home office now, that I even haven't shared yet. And so God began to call me to the ministry. He said, if you desire, if anyone desire the office of any position, he said, you desire the good work, well, you got to be blameless. The Bible said the husband of one wife, and then you got to guide your family, you know, and your household. And so whatever we desire, you know, God will bless us to walk in that. And the Bible said we should speak those things that are not as though they were. But he called me because, like I said before, I ran from it to the problem. I really, really, really did not want to do this. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to teach. I just want to live a normal life and call it a day. Yeah, I want to do that. I didn't want to go high in God. I was just satisfied, you know, going to church on Easter Sunday and Christmas and what have you, and that was good enough for me. But God said, no, I've got a higher calling for your life, and step up. And so I had a bad accident when I was younger, a car accident going 100 miles an hour here in Houston, because I was running from God. And God, and I was telling God many times before, when they were prophesying to me, many prophets, many apostles were prophesying, God calling me into the ministry, God wanted me to do this, God wanted me to do that, and I rebelled against everything that they said. But listen to the family, in that car that night, I had my wife's brother there, my brother there, and a few more friends, and we were going to a club. We were going to party. You know, I was going to party like one of tomorrow. And I got into a bad accident, and I was telling God, I said, God, I'm dead. And he spoke these words to me. He said, are you too young to die? And remember that why he was saying this. This on my website page. My car was slipping in the air, out of control. It's nothing. I had no seatbelt on because in them days, it wasn't required to wear a seatbelt. So my car in the air, sparks flying everywhere. And God is asking me now, because I told him many times before, I'm too young to preach at that time. I said, I don't want to do that right now. Maybe when I get older, I'll consider that. But right now, I've got to fart it. But he spoke those words to me. Are you too young to die? I said, no, Lord, I'm not. Help me, Jesus. And that car stopped rolling over. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The power of God. Now, if you had seen that car, you say, there's no way a person could survive that accident. It was crushed like a Coke can. But God, goodness brought me out. That's why I love the song said about the blood, if it had not been for the blood. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are covered by the blood. Every time we get in our automobile, it's the blood. Every time we get on a plane, it's the blood. When we go to work, it's the blood. When we come at home, the blood will keep you when you can't keep yourself. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if it had not been Jesus, where would we be right now?
Amen. Amen. So that's when you realized that God had a calling over your life. That's when you went back and just decided, you know, was you in the hospital or anything like that? Did you end up, you know, being really injured really, really bad?
Not, Beloved, beloved, not a scratch on me. My brother, wow. my brother had a cut in his forehead. He was in the back seat. If anyone was supposed to have a cut that night, it should have been me. Because I was behind, because I was the one that was doing the drive behind the steering wheel, but not a scratch on me whatsoever. T.D. Jakes and many, many great men of God prophesied in my life as well, you know, and stuff like that. But like I told you, I told God, matter of fact, I didn't really want any interested in that type of life, you know. And but God said, I got a work for you to do. And so that's how you know, because the Bible, he called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, you know, to do his work, to bring Christ's body into the unity of the faith. And so those are gifts that come from God, not from men. And the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did it yesterday, you know the good news is? He'll do it today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah,
hallelujah.
Because apostle, can you define what apostle is?
Yes, I should tell apostle. Yes, apostle is the one that God sent, the one that God called to establish order in the church. That's what is apostle. God gave him that gift. And matter of fact, he do have the gift of healings and the gift of miracles and things like that. But many believe that in order to be an apostle, you have to lay your physical eyes on Jesus. I would say this. If we say we are believers and we are born again and we believe that Christ died for our sins, is that not faith? Because we was not that way when Christ gave his life on the cross. We believe the word. We have faith that he did what he said he did. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yes?
Go ahead. Finish.
Yes. Our walk with God is predicated not on what we see with our physical eyes, but our faith in God. The Bible, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah.
Wow.
And I want, and let me say this while I'm speaking right now. I know you hear much about today. We hear about the local church, the local ministry, the local. Well, if you go to your Bible, you're not going to find the word local. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach my gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, when God called you, I spoke a word to you, you confirmed that word, that you are not only a minister or prophetess, but you are a mother to the nations. God don't deal with local nothing. He deals with nations. He deals with the world. Because John said, for God so loved the world. He didn't say, for God so loved my community. He didn't say, for God so loved my group. He didn't say, for God so loved my little kingdom. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when you say, I am an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophetess, bishop, you are not just a bishop over a local congregation. You're not just a pastor over a local congregation. You're supposed to pastor his sheep. His sheep is not just in Houston or Atlanta. His sheep is worldwide. His sheep is in every nation. Somebody say amen.
I just love it. I just love it. I love the way you go forth. Apostle, I really love the way that you go forth. You are truly a mighty man of God. That's why I have you on the station. I was just excited for you to come on. Another thing, as time going by, I just want to talk to you a little bit about how you writing, when you write, you prophesy. You know, why we are just energized with you, why the Spirit of God is all upon you. Can you just give the nation a prophetic word, what God is saying right now? See, because the fivefold ministry, you are truly walking in that. And it is, he's an apostle. Apostle standing in an apostleship as an apostle, as God sent, and a prophet, and an evangelist, and then a preacher and a teacher, and you are all that. So I'm pulling on the other part. We went to the apostle. Now, let me pull on the prophecy. Can you give us a prophetic word from God? Is there something that you want to say, or is God saying something to you right now? If he is, let us hear it. If not, we understand, because, you know, sometimes, you know, you might not be saying nothing. You know, so do you have a prophetic word for the nation for us?
Let me say this, Prophetess Pamela. If you go back into the Old Testament, and this is what God is dealing with about, that many, many, many ministers have missed. I literally mean many have missed this. God allowed two men to build them anything in the Old Testament. I'm not talking about the ark and stuff like that. I'm talking about when it comes down to a place of worship. It was Moses that built the tabernacle. It was Solomon that built the temple. David desired to build God a temple, but he told David, I can't let you do it, David, because you got too much blood on your hands. And so God allowed them temporarily. It was not forever. It was temporarily until Christ came on the scene. Because he allowed them to do it at that time. And he told Solomon, if you do what I command you to do, if you follow my precepts and you keep my word and you follow my covenant agreement, this will be established. But if you turn your back on me, Solomon, I'm going to tear this place down. And as you know, Solomon allowed many, many strange wives to come into Jerusalem and build idol temples. Matter of fact, Solomon turned his heart from God in that. And God was very, very upset. And God allowed that temple to be torn down. And then many, many years later, many people tried to rebuild that temple. But God never told us to build a temple. Now, when Christ came on the scene, Christ told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. He said, our church, Peter. He said, I will build my church and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when you look at Saul, and you go to the book of Acts, chapter 7, because Saul was still under the law. He was still under the Old Testament when he was persecuting the church. But he didn't know he was persecuting the church. He thought he was persecuting idol worshipers. This is what Saul thought he was doing, because they was calling on Yahshua. They was calling on Jesus. They was not calling on Jehovah. And he said, Who is this Yahshua? I don't know about him. I know about God Jehovah, but this Jesus, I don't know. So he was persecuting the church on the road of Damascus. And when the Lord stopped him, now note this, beloved, note this. When Saul said, when the Lord stopped him, said, why are you doing this, Saul? Why are you kicking against the brick? And Saul said, well, Lord, who are you? Now, when he said Lord, he was not talking about Jesus. He was talking about Lord God. And Lord God said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So what was Saul doing? He was persecuting believers from house to house. And he was having them thrown in prison, and someone was being killed because of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when Paul said, know ye not that your body is the temple of God, and God the world in you, he was talking from experience. He was not just talking words out the top of his head. He was letting us know we are the living tabernacle of God. So the emphasis should not be on buildings today. But many ministers today spend billions and billions of dollars on buildings while families are homeless, while families are going through, while believers are in debt. We are not ministering to the body of Christ. Oh, yeah, we fellowship. We go into a big old building and we call it a church. But it is not the church. We are the church. Hallelujah. We are the place where God lives. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And then he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that today, my beloved sister Pamela. We need to understand that the bricks and the mortar and the stone and the pews and that stuff is not going to heaven. Only those that believe in Jesus Christ is going to heaven. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you may be also. So that is the word I have for the nations and for America. But we got to redirect our focus not on pastoring buildings, but pastoring his people. He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He said, tend my lamb. Peter, the third time, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we got to consider that. We got to consider that prophetess, Pamela. We got to consider we are the church, and we want to love each other and care for each other and embrace one another. Like you said, in the preparation room about love, we need more love among the body of Christ, not just heat together and nobody knows each other. We are totally strangers, and we are one eye open, one eye closed, and nobody trusts one another, but yet we call ourselves family. That's not what God wants. He wanted to be one, many members, but one body. This is what Christ has called himself. Hallelujah. Let's be the family. Let's be the church that Jesus is coming back for on that great day when he opened the skies on the cloud. And the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which shall remain shall be caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen. That was powerful. That was powerful. I know the time is going by so quickly, listeners. We just so excited. I just like, wow, God, thank you. But I'm ready to go into Acts 17:26. Can you let the listeners know a little bit before we, you know, go any farther about that Acts 17:26? Can you go in a little sermon with that? Give us a little time with that.
Yes, I sure can, Minister Pamela. In Acts 17:20 says, it reads as follows, "And he hath made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings." Now, let me say this. If we believe the Bible, we say we believe the Bible. We don't believe in, we believe in creation, right? And so if we believe in creation, we know, and if we know this, the Bible in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve is the parents of all civilization. And so we understand that we all arrived from Adam. So when the Bible says that we are one blood, what it really says, we are one human family. This is what this verse is saying. And God places in every nation his family. We are family. We are not strangers as we think we are, but we are family. But those that are born again and been baptized in the blood of Jesus, now we are spiritual family. We're only not blood relatives, but we are spiritual relatives. And so what he's saying is all of this racism and division and this divide, it shouldn't be. This is the reason why Christ came. Because Christ said he loved not only he loved the Jews, but he loved the Gentiles as well. For God so loved the world. It did not say for God so loved the Jewish people, even though he was Jewish. But for God so loved the world, because why? The world is one. But we don't see the world as being one. We see division. We see a shade of skin, color of skin. You know, we see those that have and those that have not. You know, we see the wise and the unwise. This is what we're looking at today. And so it caused division among God's people. But the Bible said a house divided against itself, it won't stand. It just won't stand. Amen. So Christ wants us together. He wants us to be one. John 17, he said, "Father, make them what? One, even as we are." Perfect unity, perfect harmony. This is what God is calling for, not only here in America, but around the world. I made a statement on Facebook and other sites that I'm on. We expect our President Obama and the government to do what ministers should be doing in America. We say we tax exempt. We brag about we don't pay taxes and stuff like that, and we brag about we've been Christians, and we brag about we got the truth, and we brag about we got joy, and we brag about we got love. Now, if we got so much love, and we got so much anointing, and we got so much word, why our country's in turmoil right now? But you got churches on every block, and I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about here at home in America. You got churches, white, black, and Hispanic, and yellow, and all of these different churches, but yet we can't come together. But we God is our Father, and we say we're all going to heaven, and we say we all call him Lord, but yet we can't fellowship together. We can't support each other. We can't embrace each other. Mm. It's a problem somewhere.
That is
God don't want this stuff in his family. I'm telling you right now. You look at, you got a family. You don't want your family fighting and bickering and can't get along. You want your family to be together in love, to be there for one another, support each other. And this is what God wants. He wants us to fight for each other. If need be, die for each other. And so I'm in it to win. I'm not in it just for myself. You are my sister. And if I ever die for you, Pamela, I'll give my life for you. But I don't have to, because Christ already did that. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I was just speaking on that about 2 weeks ago about, I see so much prejudice in the churches more than anywhere now. It's scary. You know, it's really scary. You know, and those fears are so strong that it'll come on you. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you see somebody that's really prejudiced and stuff like that, and it, you know, and if you're not really prayed up, that spirit is so strong, it'll come on you. You'll start feeling the same way about them. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have to break. We have to embrace it. I think that God is looking for a church home that's like that. I was just at a baptism with my daughter and her husband and my son-in-law and their children last week before I went to Connecticut, and it was a mixture church, and it was beautiful. It was like rainbow colors and all different nationalities and stuff like that, just coming together and worshiping God, and the music was different. You know what I'm saying? So I embrace any listeners that's on the phone. You know, just branch out and go to different church homes and see how it is, and love of it. Someone, you know, from your different nationality coming to your church, embracing them. And I think one of the ways that we could make a difference with that is through prayer. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so strong and it's so big now. The only thing that will work through what we're going through at this time in life is prayer. So I just encourage listeners to please pray more. You know, please pray more that God will change our heart, God will change our soul, God will change our spirit, so we could come together and unify as one. It is so important nowadays to come forth. But I just want to call on Kalicia Jenkins. Are you there?
I'm here, Pam. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm just sitting here listening to Pastor Winfrey, you know, ordering the church. He's giving it, you know, sipping on my ginger tea, you know, I juice fresh ginger when I usually get sick. It's just, you know, the weather, but it is what it is. I got it from the little ones, you know, they were sick. But also, just absolutely a pleasure for you to join us today live from Texas. I read your CNN iReport, and, you know, congratulations on being selected for that message to be sent out through that platform. It's just absolutely a great message, and welcome you here to be able to join the preparation room, and happy holidays to you and your family, and just continued blessings to you and your ministry.
Thank you, beloved. I really appreciate that. And let me inject this, please, Sister Pamela. When you watch technology in our country, and any type of technology come out that people want, they would get up early in the morning. They would stand out in the rain. They would stand around the building, because it's something in that store that they want. Now, let me say this. When we stop playing church, and we stop, you know, just going around with the programs and being entertained, and get serious and begin to become a family of God and loving one another and caring for one another, let me tell you something. You're not going to stop them from coming. This is what God is doing. God said, you're not going to stop my children from coming. You, I don't care who think they are in the way. You got to get out of the way, because my children are hungry. They want to be fed. They want to be blessed. They want to be a part of my kingdom. And I'm not going to allow man, women, or anyone stand in the way. When we have what the world wants, they'll come in. It's just like if you go to a restaurant and we eat some good food. Now, if the food is good, you're going to go back and tell your friends, and I'm going back and tell my friends. I'm going to advertise. Man, you got to go to this restaurant because they sure got some good soul food or whatever they got in there prepared. So once we begin to get the flush out the way and all this ego, because so much ego in God's house, you know, everybody want to be the head and not the tail. Everybody want to lead and not follow. If we just come together, let Christ lead us, the world will come in. Because you don't have to beg a sinner to get saved. You don't have to beg them. They'll come. The Bible, whosoever will, let them come. But the reason why they are not coming is because they see so much division. They see so much hate. They see so much disunity. You know, and they just see so much those that have and those that have not. They really don't see family. And the world know what family is. They might not be saved, but they know what love is. And so once we get that back into the house of God and get these entertainers out of there, then the people, then the souls will come in. They'll come in from every nation. Then what God, he told me, if you have something that they want, they will come. Jesus was in the wilderness. And the Bible, he took two loaves and five fish after he taught them from days the word of God, and he said they were the last one of them. Jesus Christ was not in a fine edifice, a fine temple, a stadium. He was in the wilderness. And these people were sitting on the ground, sitting on the grass, listening to our Savior. So when you have what they want, it doesn't matter where you're at. It ain't got to be a fancy place. Just have Jesus there. Have this love. Have this compassion. Have this anointing. And they, trust me, will come. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Pam, you already know, you know, that was the vision of Bill Grown and Joy.
Yeah.
The responses,
yeah.
the way people reach out to me and just the direction it's going. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, all the doors that have opened in my life as I walk with Bill Grown and Joy. And, you know, Apostle, I was just like you, running from the call till something broke me down and said, okay, it's time. But, you know, I give all the glory to him. I mean, Pam, as you know, I mean, have five lucrative, huge proposal projects in motion, you know, to bless our community. I mean, in 2013, my travel schedule is ridiculous. Just in April alone, I'm going to be in four cities. I mean, between L.A., D.C., San Diego, Texas, Florida. You know, it's all over. And it's just to plant and feed the people, you know, educate them, empower them, you know, and just really, really give them that sense of, you know, keep God first in your life and just follow your purpose, you know. So I just have to piggyback off of, you know, what he said. And like I tell everybody, you know, what's going on right now, GETB can now be viewed from BillGrownAndJoy.com. You can go to BillGrownAndJoy.com. Make sure you join us in all the things that's going on because it's just ridiculous. And then BGE, just when you go there to BGE.com, also go to BGETV 132. And you can click onto the hyperlink, and you can view. Right now we only have the Easy Show on. That'll be a little show slot just for Eric with his content and what he's doing in Hollywood. But I have the Atlanta production team in place, have the L.A. production team in place, and we're pulling together the content. Everything's in pre-planning to really get that visual of those that are making a difference in the community and in their walk, you know, helping the next to continue to encourage everyone. So it's going to be absolutely awesome. Just so many things are coming to me. You know, like I said, I'm really excited with my marketing team. I mean, I seriously got a Silicon Valley team. I mean, we're looking at taking just Bill Grown and Joy's Facebook, social media, by end of next year, it'll be millions because that's just the direction they're taking. It's because these guys are, you know, professional programmers and they, you know, this is what this team do on that type of level. And, you know, they're in different cities asking it. And I'm just like pulling it off the banner on a conference call yesterday, talking about how they're going to syndicate it through, you know, the television networks, just not just through the web platform. In multiple countries, just here in the U.S., on this content that we're pulling together. So I just give all the glory to him. And, you know, it is. When you have something people need, they'll come. And it's just all in compassion and love. And that's what Bill Grown and Joy is about. And I do lastly want to say, you know, today is World AIDS Day 2012. And, you know, Pam, I was telling you about the stats that's going on in Atlanta. That is actually one project that I'm in pre-planning with, speaking with the ladies over at, you know, the National Congress Association from D.C., L.A., and Atlanta, you know, dignitaries, hospital directors, the media. I mean, this is something that we really have to focus on in Atlanta because it's just horrible in our city with the HIV in our community. Atlanta actually ranks number 14 in the nation with the highest HIV and AIDS cases, Georgia number 6 in the nation, and just alone, you know, fast reportings from Fulton, DeKalb, Clayton, Cobb, and Douglas. Atlanta ranks number 2 for the worst city for African-American women. They are comparing Atlanta for African-American women to get HIV to African countries like the Congo. And then, of course, Atlanta number 3 in the nation for the highest STD rate. So something has to change. And like I said, that's something that I'm pre-planning. Funding is in place, so God is good, you know. It will be big. Looking, you know, we're still trying to set the dates, just pull it all together. But, you know, it just hit me, you know. I didn't know it was that bad, you know, just really doing further research and, you know, support. Right now there is something going on in Atlanta today. You can get over to PositiveRunway.com, support our girl London, you know, at Positive Runway, Red Ribbon Models. They're out celebrating World AIDS Day. You can get on over to her site. But definitely just everybody with everything going on, compassion, love, bringing the community together, empower yourself, educate yourself. That's what it's for. You hear Apostle, you know, James Winfrey speaking his word, his powerful message. All this can encourage us. You're not out there alone. Become transparent, and that's a lot that we speak about. So BillGrownAndJoy.com, join as a free member. BillGrownAndJoy, BGE TV, 132, subscribe. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Kalithia. I know a lot of people ask, you know, about the Facebook like page. I hardly ever say that, but you can go to Facebook.com, Bill, Grow, and Enjoy. And just everyone have a great, great week, and my continued blessings to each and every one of you.
Yeah, well, we thank you so much, Kalithia, but most of all, we thank the listeners. We thank you for, you know, just tuning in, listening in, and you, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. So we just want to give our love to you. And you know, the most greatest love of all, that I give God all the honor and all the glory, just to be able to just go forth in the atmosphere and speak away, Prince of Darkness. The Bible said if we speak a thing, it would be so. We know that all of evil force is out here in the atmosphere, but God gave us the power to speak it. And we have to know the power that we have. Like I was telling you earlier today, there's a thing. We believers must operate in authority. We must operate in authority. We have authority over everything that goes on in our life. Of course there's going to come principalities. With Kalithia, the way she is, I know there's, you know, people out there, you need this, that, and haters, you know, but they're her motivators. Like I speak upon her life. You have to speak upon people's lives and speak against things, not hate against. It wasn't easy for her to get where she's at today. You know, I witnessed it, Kalithia, what you've been through. You know, she's been through a lot of hurt, a lot of discouragement. That made her want to just throw the power in. You got to gravitate to somebody that's going to speak into your life when people hurt you, to help you to go forth, tell you to go ahead and you could do this. God needs you. You know, whatever. You need to embrace in somebody that could help bring you through, to pull you through, that's going to love on you, and you got to love on them too. You got to love somebody. Bring somebody out of the Prince of Darkness. So what I'm trying to say is, yes, she got this going on, this and that. Truly, I'm on the radio, Apostle doing this or doing that. It is not easy when you are in the will of God. Just go forth. If you get knocked down, get back up, rest, study, learn how to fight in the spirit, and go forth and do what you have to do. But I just want to tell all you listeners again that I love you. I thank God for you, and I plead the blood of Jesus over you. And we'll see you next week. But before we leave, we want to have Apostle to come forth and pray us out. Can you do that, Apostle?
It would be my honor, beloved. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the preparation room and all those that are working with this beautiful organization and ministry. We pray, God, for every listener that you would bring us together in unity in Christ. We thank you, Father. Amen. For our nation, we ask you to move in a mighty way, heal, deliver, and set free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, listeners, you can also join me on Facebook, Tamala Reese Wardlaw. You can also join the Preparation Room as the Preparation Room, or go on to Build, Grow, and Enjoy Radio. .com. You can also tweet me at Sunshine Reese. And thanks again. Galicia, you did give your information on how to get in touch with you as well. Would you like to?
Yeah, they have everything. At Galicia, they can tweet me, or BillGornEnjoy.com, they can find me. So everyone just have a lovely, lovely week. And thank you, Apostle, for joining us, and enjoy your holidays with you and your family.
Love you, listener. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us at the Preparation Room with Build, Grow, and Enjoy, preparing the way for the Lord.